Anyway, earlier this week, I wasn't feeling too well. Sunday kind of started, and then it went out, drug on through the week, but not all too bad. But I felt like I was cloudy with the chance of meatballs. Have you heard the title of that movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? I always think of that because it's just a funny title, and it just sticks with you. So now it's with you, and you're going to remember it when you're sick. How are you doing? Oh, I'm cloudy with a chance of meatballs. But that's how I felt, kind of just cloudy, you know, this whole week, not being clear-minded. And that's how our marriage relationships can be. Our marriage relationships, when they're not right with the Lord, can be cloudy with the chance of meatballs. You know, they can just not seem right. Just we're not thinking straight. We're not seeing the obstacles that come up, and we're not prepared to meet with them. A sick relationship is one that manifests itself in some odd but destructive ways. A well relationship helps you get through obstacles in a God-glorifying way. Because in this life, just because your relationship with your spouse is right, first of all, with the Lord, and second, with each other, doesn't mean that you're not going to meet up with obstacles. You know, it reminds me of, I was thinking of the song. I don't know, you guys think of songs in different situations? I was thinking of this one. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone, right? I can see all obstacles in my way, right? That's what it is. Keep on. But it made me think of that because when we're right with the Lord and we're good with each other, what happens is we do see those obstacles coming towards us, and we're able to handle them in a righteous way, according to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Now, so when we're right with Him, we don't have that confusion in our marriages. We have that peace, and we're able to tackle those things as they come our way. The title of this morning's message is A Right Relationship. You see, we serve a God of order, not of disorder. He is organized in every way, not disorganized. And just as the Father has placed the Son as the head of the church, so He has placed the Father over His own children, and He has placed within the home the husband as the head over the wife. This has been, ladies and gentlemen, from the very beginning. To the wives, God said, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Genesis 3:16. And yes, listen, this is very important to understand. Wives are co-heirs with their husbands of the grace of life in Jesus Christ. But there is a right relationship within the home that ought to be lived out to glorify the Lord in obedience to His commandments. I believe that the world around us has a perverted way of thinking about marriage. They tell the wives to be independent, even within the marriage. Be independent. Have your own stuff. Have your own friends. Have just everything separate from your husband. That way, when things get tough, you can quickly slip away and not really hammer the relationship. No. No matter if you have things separate from your husband, ladies, men, separate from your wives, we already know that divorce is a bloody mess, right? That was the first message in this series. It's a ripping apart. Remember, God brought you together and united you as one. That's who you are in Christ, in the eyes of God, right? And so no matter what, any separation through divorce will impact not only you, but so many others around you. And I'm challenging you this morning, just as I said last week to the men, for you ladies to recalibrate your way of thinking. Adjust to God's standard. to bring your way of thinking into subjection to the Word of God and not continue thinking the way the world does when it comes to your relationship with your husband. A right relationship will bring about a righteous relationship that will be governed and kept under the power and privilege and favor of the Holy Spirit. Do you desire that? I mean, it's difficult enough to go through with your marriage with God, right? You're following Scripture. You're following the lead of the Holy Spirit, and it's still difficult. And all you can pray is, Lord, help me through these difficult times. Lord, help me to grow and to be that mate for my husband or for my wife that glorifies you. But can you imagine doing it without God, without Scripture, without His wisdom, without absolute truth? It's all relative, is what the world says. Let me tell you my truth. No, let me tell you mine. I think he's wrong. I think I'm right. Right? Philosophy. Ask different people what their philosophy of marriage is or of life in general, and you'll get an endless number of thoughts and philosophies. It can be very difficult. People, we need to go straight to the Word of God. Not rely on man, because what's impossible with man is possible with God. What's impossible with man, that is a right relationship with each other, is possible with God. That's why you need to be a testimony of the relationship with between Jesus Christ and the church. And you can only do that if you know Scripture and apply it with complete trust in Scripture and trust in God and faith in Him, in His Word alone. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you're not there. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 23 to through 24. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And we'll slip down to verse 33b. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Notice, guys, that there's only 2.5 verses for the wives. All right? There's a few more for you. So it's going to be very simple for them and straightforward, although not easy to always follow to the T, right? The first thing I want to bring to your attention, the S word is not a dirty word. You know what I'm talking about? Submission. That's always, you know what the world does? The world perverts things within the Bible so it'll be twisted and not applied correctly. That's all. The S word is not a dirty word. The commandment here is one that is plain and simple but difficult if not understood or taken out of context. We need to put it back into context. We need to understand what it means. We need to redeem that within our marriages. So the first thing I want to point out to you, it's as to the Lord. Verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Very important. The example that the Apostle Paul gives to the Ephesians is that wives are to submit to their husbands, lead just as the church is to follow the lead of Jesus Christ. The church has no problem, should have no problem, following Jesus' lead as he commands us to behave, as he commands us to act within the context of the church, within the body of the church. We should follow his lead. And if the church does not do this, then it'll fall apart And the relationship to Jesus is not as if he is Lord, but only to one that offers suggestions and advice. And the church behaves in a way like as if they can just take it or leave it. Oh, well, that's a suggestion. Let's skip that. Let's go to this other section over here. Yeah, because I like this. But No. He is Lord. He is Lord of our lives. He is Lord of this church. He should be Lord over your marriage. He should be Lord over you individually. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. And he said this to his disciples, to the church. You see, if you're a Christian, you're a disciple, which is a learner. It's someone who comes under the authority of someone else and says, I am your disciple, Jesus. And he says, well, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? But this is to his church. It was a commandment, not a suggestion. It was a directive to those who claim to be his followers. And it serves as protection as well. You know, if you follow the word of God, it's amazing how you feel at peace. You feel a peace. Why? You know a peace. Because it's the promise of God applied to your life, and he keeps you in that protective place with him. You abide with him, as it says in John. And he brings you in close. I don't believe that any husband intentionally wants to mislead his wife into a dangerous place, a compromising place, a place which jeopardizes her well-being, because that place will always include himself. Always. Remember that the wife and husband are one, and no one ever hated his own flesh but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. We read that last week. So wives, here's something for you. Trust God and have a right relationship. Strive to have a right relationship with your husband according to the word of God. Not in response to how he is towards you. As difficult as it is to not react, have a right relationship with the Lord. Strive for that according to the word of God, no matter how your husband is toward you. It's all about pleasing the Lord. It's not about anything else. Because then it becomes about self and not about God. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:31? Jot it down. Whether you eat or drink or do anything else, do it all to the glory of God. Everything. Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Ephesians 5:33b says, "And let the wife see that she respects her husband. A husband is to submit to Jesus Christ by following his commandments to love his wife. And a wife is to submit to Jesus Christ first by following his commandment to respect her husband." And it's critical in a marriage relationship that the wife understands what this means. It does not mean, this is what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that she's a doormat that follows his lead no matter what he tells her to do. It's not that. When he is pointing her in a direction which is going against Scripture. If it's against Scripture, guys, watch out, because this morning I'm telling the ladies, our wives, to duck. Okay? And ladies, if you just stay faithful to the Lord and allow him to do a work in your husband and just duck, he'll take care of him. He really will. I'll tell you a story a little bit later that will drive that point home and give you hopefully an illustration that will be effective for you. Respect is the way in which wives express their love and trust for their husbands as they allow them to take the lead. You need to allow, ladies, you need to allow your husband to take the lead. That scripture that I read earlier, Genesis 3:16 says, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. That's a really nice way of saying your desire shall be against your husband and he shall rule over you. Sometimes, ladies, you have this inclination to go against your husband. Listen, it's a natural inclination. So just be aware of that. Be aware of it. It's like I tell my boys, and I when I counsel people, listen, there is a flaw, there is a major flaw in you. And everyone has something different. Some people just talk too much. Some people are prideful. It's like it just really, I mean, everyone's prideful, but some people it just kind of boils up. But once you know what that flaw is, whatever it is, critical, anger, bitterness, jealousy, something always creeps to the surface. Once you know what that is, then continue to keep that in check by giving it to the Lord. Okay? Just know that it's coming. Oh, it surfaced again. I need to give that to the Lord. Ladies, I'm telling you, when it comes to your household, God has a whole organizational chart for it, right? And when you feel that you are trying to take control of a certain situation or even your husband, I'm telling you, keep it in check. Get out of the way. God's got a work that he wants to do in your husband, and he also wants to do in you. Just a quick note, this is a quote taken from the book Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. He says, quote, I sometimes get the question, you say women need love and men need respect. Isn't the opposite just as true? Don't gals need respect and guys need love? My answer is, of course, women need respect and guys need love. But I'm talking about the primary drive in each sex. Sometimes this gets mixed up. Back in the late 1960s, when the feminist movement was hitting its stride, Aretha Franklin released a hit record entitled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Which clearly sent the message that all women needed, and they had to have it. R-E-S-P-E-C-T became something of a theme song for many women, but what most of them did not realize is that the song was really written by a man. Did you know that? Otis Redding. 2 years before Aretha ever sang it. Otis released the song as a single on August 15, 1965, as his message to his wife. Does the irony of this strike you as it does me? Aretha had the right to sing R-E-S-P-E-C-T from a female point of view, of course. A woman does need respect, and if a man loves her properly, she will get that respect. But the primary meaning in Otis Redding's song is a cry from a man's deepest soul that says respect is what he needs, and he's got to have it, close quote. Taken from the book. That's for you, ladies, to show that respect towards your husband is an expression of your love for him. That's what it is. So if you want to know how to love your husband, then show that respect. Give him that place in the home that God has commanded for him to have. Allow that to happen. Secondly, to deserve or not to deserve, it doesn't matter. It's not even a question, okay? I've heard this said in different ways. My husband doesn't deserve my respect. Why should I submit to his lead if he's not worthy of it? Ladies, you can say that in so many different ways, but I've heard it actually said just like that. Why should I give it to him if he doesn't even deserve it? For wives that have husbands that do not obey the word, the answer to this question is salvation. Or restoration. Why should you behave obediently to the word of God even though he doesn't deserve it? Why? Well, for his soul's sake. So that by a gentle and quiet spirit that you portray, that you give an example of in obedience to God, you might win him over to the Lord. 1 Peter, which is just a few books back before Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. You don't feel like respecting anyone or being pure towards anyone when they're not treating you very good, right? But again, this has nothing to do with your husband and everything to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Lead by example. Ladies, I want to tell you this. There is nothing wrong to take the lead, but it should be done with respect, being pure in heart, and in a quiet manner. The leading, quote-unquote, that I'm talking about is not leading him by taking over in the home, but in following what God's word says to you and being obedient to it. That's how you can lead. You know, you can be a leader in wherever you work, whatever group of friends you have, by simply being obedient to the word of God, doing it in a quiet and gentle manner, and you could lead them without being brash and being abrasive. It's a very beautiful leading. That's what led me to Christ. By a man that just, he led by example in it with a quiet and gentle spirit. My wife, she was an instrument used by God to lead me back to my Savior, Jesus Christ. This example is one that I can attest to working in my life. It worked in my life. I can't tell you how much it ministered to me and led me to a life of surrendering my will to God's will and coming under His authority. When my wife, in difficult times, when my wife followed the authority of the church as the church gave her counsel, it was difficult. She went to counseling, and this is what they told her. Hey, no matter what your husband does, you cook for him, you keep the house clean, you just keep on with the word of God, you just lead in that way. I'm sure that was really difficult for her. But in doing that, I couldn't help. I would see this woman that just all of a sudden her she's at peace. She's just this peaceful woman in the midst of a storm. Like, how can this be? And then God took like a club and just hit me right over the head, big 2x4, and said, "That's me. That's me working in her life. And she's peaceful. Why? Because she trusts in me. And she's being obedient to me, no matter if you're a big dummy or not." And that led me back to Jesus Christ. That won me over. It was her conduct that won me over, not her words of rebuke. Which leads me to the next point. Armed and dangerous. You know, ladies, you can be armed and dangerous in a good way. Armed and dangerous to take someone who is just upside down, just messed up, be an instrument that shoots down the enemy and takes back someone who was captive. Armed and dangerous. 1 Peter chapter 3, in the same chapter here, verses 3 through 6, says, "Do not let your adorning be external, but by the braiding of her hair, and the putting on of gold, jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." Now, men, don't quickly go to that part which says, you know, and remember, Sarah called Abraham Lord. So think of a word that you're going to be calling me around the house. No. That is just a beautiful show of respect towards your husband. That's what it was. armed and dangerous with God's adorning of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in his sight is very precious. To a man's eyes, in a man's eyes, that is very precious. It's absolutely beautiful in a wife. Ladies, you can dress the same. You can put on the same perfume. You can do all of that. But when you adorn yourself with the very word of God, with his truth, it's just irresistible. Absolutely beautiful. It's the hidden person in Christ that comes out with a gentle spirit as opposed to a frustrated and stressed out spirit. A quiet spirit as opposed to a loud and demanding spirit, regardless of your environment. And this is a woman that's armed and dangerous. Learn the word of God. Apply it. Walk it out. Have peace in Christ. And it's funny how as you change, as you abide in Christ, your husband will be won over and restored to a right relationship with the Lord. Let me tell you also that submission is not a demonstration of weakness, but rather of strength. If you can restrain yourself from reacting, instead respond to God's word, it's a show of strength. It's God's strength working out in you and through you. Speaking of Sarah and Abraham, did you know that Abraham lied twice? Lied twice about Sarah being his sister. The first time was in Genesis chapter 12, and the second time was in Genesis chapter 20. Once to the Pharaoh of Egypt, and the other time to the king of Gerar, Abimelech. Both times, Sarah did not speak up, but remained silent. And whether this was right for her to do so or not is not the point. The point is that she ducked, and God did a work through it with Abraham. The point is that she was used in 1 Peter chapter 3 as an example of a woman who demonstrated respect towards her husband, even if he failed miserably. Before we close, and we're closing, but we're opening up another section here of this message and this morning's service, I want to tell you about the castle in the stairwell. Paul Washer, he's a pastor, and he was talking about this illustration about the castle in the stairwell. He loves castles, and so he visits castles as he goes back to Europe. And one of the questions as he was going through a tour was, as they went inside, it was just this beautiful, just enormous castle. But there was a second story, and there was a stairwell that was going up. Now, most of the times in beautiful homes, you see these stairwells, the staircases that just are grand, right? You walk in, and that's just the focal point. It's just about like 12 feet wide and just goes up and goes off in both directions, right? Not these stairwells. These stairwells were very narrow. In fact, so narrow that only one person could go up and down at any one given time. So he asked, what is the reason for having these narrow stairwells? And so they explained to him, well, what happened in those times is that the enemies would come in and try and take over the castle. And so what the people would do was they would quickly, the first sign of an invasion, they would go up those stairwells and camp out on top, right? Impenetrable by any other methods. You had to go through the entrance and up the stairwell to get to everyone there. Now, one person with a spear and a sword could easily fend off anyone that was coming up. Why? Because one at a time, they had to go up that stairwell and they would take them out. Ladies, sometimes you're the one that's standing in that stairwell and you're fighting your husband. You're throwing everything you can at him. See, your husband's smart, and he's gone up to the second story. He's gone up to the second story, and everything you throw at him is only coming at him one at a time, and he's able to fend it off with a sword, with a spear, duck, deflect. And then you're turning around and saying, God, why don't you do something about him? Can't you see what he's doing? And he's saying, yeah, I do. Get out of the way. But don't you see, I'm trying to do this work. Yeah, but you're trying to do my work. Get out of the way. There's only room for one person going up to the second floor and dealing with your husband. And you're not the right person. Get out of the stairwell. You're in my castle. Right? And so, ladies, the illustration is there for you to understand that God wants to do a work in your husband. For you, respect can be in the way of suggesting certain things, to pointing out other areas of his life in a loving way. Because we are to do that with each other within the church. How much more so are you supposed to do it with your husband? Right? There is rebuke. There are times for rebuke. But you do so in a loving way. I mean, how is a younger person supposed to rebuke an older person? What does the Bible say? Respect your elders. Right? To show a love for them. Say, bring them in. And it's not to destroy or to blow them out of the water. It's to tell them, hey, listen, this is what I'm seeing in your life. And you might want to pray about it. This is what Scripture says. Then back off. Get back down the stairwell. Back down the stairwell, right? Those are instructions that are given within the church so that we can have a healthy church. So that we can have a growing church. So we can have a church that deals with things, but in a loving way. Ladies, gentlemen, husbands, wives, we are to do that with each other as well. Even more so. That is your mate for life. You should treat each other in a loving and respectful manner. And so, ladies, get down the stairwell. What are you doing up there? Get down. Let the Lord deal with your husband. This is where you duck. Now, the title of the message that Paul Washer had, given this illustration, is How to Kill Your Husbands. Let the old man be dead. Right? Let the new man come forth. Men, some of you, your wives need to just let God take you out and build you up. I know I had to be that person. At one point, I had to be taken out. The old man, reckoning him dead. So ladies, is that something that makes sense? It is all Scripture. It's something that I hope you take to heart. Again, I believe that the world around us is just tearing marriages apart and we're just falling for the lie. 75% divorce rate within California. Just astounding. That's not a rate that we want to continue on with. We want to bring that down. So I'm challenging you this morning, wives, to recalibrate your way of thinking. To bring your thoughts and your lives into subjection to the very Word of God. In alignment, understanding that submission is something very beautiful. It shows strength in Christ, not weakness. Submission, respect, as to the Lord. Lead by example and be armed and dangerous. Amen? All right.